Have you ever described a job you had as a nightmare? Maybe it was a crazy demanding boss, a nutty coworker, or just insane everything. If you've ever had a workplace where you had to say, you can't make this shit up on a daily basis, we want to hear about it. Anonymously, of course, on our new podcast, Office Horror Stories. Each week, we'll play back your calls, read your stories, and discuss the craziest, most extreme, and intense workplaces of all time. But to do that, we need your stories. If you have a crazy workplace story in your past or maybe even present, tell us about it anonymously. Just call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. We don't want your name. We don't want the name of the workplace. We just want your story. So you can go ahead and let it all out anonymously. Call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 1-833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. That's officehorrorstories.com. Now you have an outlet to share the craziness that is or was your office. Then stay tuned as we launch the new podcast, Office Horror Stories, this fall. Tell us your story now at officehorrorstories.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, nothing can hold back spirits from moving room to room in an old hospital. And some ghosts know no borders when it comes to haunting the living.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yep, it is. Our phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us right on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And be sure to get all of our bonus material. There are literally hundreds of bonus episodes packed with our best ghost stories ever. You get those at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. It's only $5 a month to become an extra podcast person. That's where you get all the bonus episodes, bonus material, advanced sale on tickets, all sorts of extra stuff. And it's like I said, it's only $5. That's what helps us support the show and keep it on the air. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. If you're already a supporter, thank you for that. We greatly appreciate it. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again. And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. What's your thought on hospitals as far as creepiness factor? And I'm not talking abandoned hospitals that have been turned into high-class restaurants. I'm talking about regular run-of-the-mill hospitals, like the type, you know, that the sick are in.
I think they're full of creepy energy.
Okay. As a child, did you ever go to hospitals as a child? Did you ever have, like, any family or anything you had to visit or anyone in there?
Not as a child.
No? So did you ever visit it for any reason? Or other than, I mean, typically it's just if you're visiting a sick person there, but I'm asking for reference of how you felt about them when you were a kid, if you have any reference point of being in them.
No. The closest thing to a hospital I ever went to as a kid was a nursing home, and we all know how I felt about that. So
that didn't go well.
No, but I don't think I went to a hospital for any reason before the age of... Well, I take that back. I went when my brother was born, and so I was 4.
Okay.
But I was there for such a short amount of time, and it was kind of a different part of the hospital. It's like the maternity area, you know, where it's all happy and stuff.
Sure.
Because babies are being born, and... So I didn't really develop any kind of creepy feelings about it till I was older.
So nothing weird about it for you?
No.
No. Okay. No. I always enjoyed the hospital. I enjoyed walking around, and I was never in the hospital until I was an adult. But I remember like going and visiting, you know, like, I think my grandma was in there once. I'm trying to think. There was like an uncle or aunt, things of that nature. It wasn't any, when I was a kid, there wasn't anybody that was like about to die in the hospital that I can recall off the top of my head. But it was just like, oh, let's go visit and bring a card or whatnot. And I would always ask if I, because they, you know, my parents would visit. I wanted to wander.
Uh-huh.
I just wanted to go around and look at things. So I did. I mean, I'd go find the cafeteria. It was like in a maze. It was this giant building that I could explore. Mm-hmm. So I have like, I never really thought anything creepy about it. So I actually have a lot of real positive, I don't know, memories of it. I do remember finding the chapel once and finding the chapel to be creepy.
Yeah.
Because it was, you know, usually in a hospital, they're kind of small. It's not a big room. It's just kind of a small area you can go to. And I remember that being, because it was such a different feel than the rest of the institution mm-hmm. feel of the hospital. All of a sudden, you're like, this room is like almost stained glass looking stuff. It's dark. And like, ooh, this is weird and unsettling. But the rest of it I found to be very, you know, I don't know, normal. I don't know if that's part of why, as an adult, when you look at older abandoned hospitals that, you know, are literally abandoned, that people go in and take pictures of the rot and decay, if that's what makes them so much more creepy, because a lot of these places were abandoned not that super long ago. Mm-hmm. Many of them that people explore, these were shut down in the late 80s and the 90s, early parts of the 2000s on some, even later on some. It's amazing how much nature can take back in the course of like 5 years.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's almost like the same creepiness of malls where you see some of those and then like a forest is growing in there and it looks like a Will Smith movie or something. You're like, holy shit. It's just because there's the memory of what once was and it's in our memory. It's not so much this distant thing and you're seeing the relics of, you know, a factory or something. I don't know if that's what makes it creepy or what, but I never really had the creepiness as a kid in a hospital. As an adult, do you feel creepy in a hospital?
I do. I have to tell you, the creepiest I've ever felt in a hospital was actually the old VA hospital in Wichita.
Okay.
When I worked in flooring in a different lifetime ago, my kind of mentor coworker, Gene, and I had to go to the VA to measure a room because mm-hmm. they were going to put linoleum in it. And so when we met the maintenance, head of maintenance guy, he took us through the tunnel underneath the hospital to cut from one end to the other.
Okay.
And this hospital was built late 1800s, early 1900s.
Yeah.
And it was one of the creepiest places I've ever had to go for a job.
Yeah.
And it was just dark and damp. And you hear squeaks, you know they're mice, or hopefully not rats, but... It was, and of course, this was all far away from where the patients would have been,
mm-hmm.
but it was just, I was like, oh, I hope I never have to go back there again.
Typically, you don't see tunnels like that, or if you do have a tunnel under a building, it's modern. It's
right, and yeah. This was like, you could see the pipes and stuff,
yeah.
and stonework, and it was like, oh, this is like the part of Goonies that I didn't want to do, you know? It was just really, really creepy.
There's one of those at the Traverse City
mm-hmm.
State Hospital. We've seen pictures. They do tours up there. And we've had listeners that have sent in pictures because I believe all of those buildings on that campus are connected
mm-hmm.
by a tunnel, assuming fairly similar to the one you were in.
Yeah, yeah. And that's kind of what it reminded me of, except it seemed like there was more like electrical and plumbing and stuff running through. It wasn't just mm-hmm. the stonework of getting from point A to point B. The whole point of us going through the tunnels was to not, you know, go through where all the patients were because that's a privacy thing. So mm-hmm. we went through that area and, oh my God, that was, and to top it all off, I think that was the creepiest place I've ever had to go for work. And I did have to go and measure for, do you remember when I had to go down to the place where they keep all the evidence for all the crimes?
Yeah.
And measure for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, this beat that. Being in there with all like the murder weapons and things they found at crime scenes.
No energy there.
No.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Something about the tunnels that is creepy. I saw a YouTube video recently of the Cincinnati subway, which never had happened.
Okay.
I mean, they were building it, never became a thing.
Why?
But the tunnels exist. I think they ran out of money. And this is around the turn of the century that this thing was built. So it's,
you mean like to the 1900s?
1900s, yes. Oh, wow. Yeah, I have to, yeah, you're right. We should have to, yeah. But yeah, like 1910, 1920-ish that these tunnels were built. And it was one of those, you know, urban explorer type things. And there's slight signs around the city of where you can enter this thing. Very, you know, very grown over, very hidden now. Over, you know, 100 years, it's been, you know, it doesn't exist much. But the tunnels are still there. No train was ever in there, but the tunnels exist.
That's awesome.
And these explorers wandered around and, you know, with a flashlight. It's really creepy. You can, there's like some areas where there was going to be a, there is a platform. There's some areas where the platform's been, you know, bricked off. A lot of problems with the folks going in there that shouldn't be there beyond explorers, but it exists. I just love seeing some of these things. There's some other really interesting videos out there of some of the New York City subway stations that are not in working order anymore.
Yeah.
That haven't been in working order for like 100 years.
And can't you take a tour of those?
I think some of them have it. Yeah. Yeah.
I've always wanted to do that and go see, because they're like, the architecture is just unreal.
And there's apparently some ways of doing it where if you know how the train line goes, there's a way of seeing some of them sometimes where it's like, don't get off on this, like the last stop, stay on it and the train will reset. And if you stick on the car, you're going to hit part of it and then you'll just run through it quick. Mm-hmm. So some people know the ways to do it. And there's other areas where the cars just don't go there at all anymore unless it's like utility.
Yeah.
But yeah, some of the architecture and the glasswork all underneath the, I don't know. It's very fascinating.
Yeah.
And there's something really, I don't know if it's Ghostbusters that makes it even creepier or what, but it is, it's a neat one. So anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go over to our first letter. It says, across my life, as well as across two countries, the U.S. and Canada, I or people in my family have had some minor run-ins with what I would like to think of as ghosts. I apologize for the fact I don't have one wildly interesting, cohesive story, but just a scattering of things. The first one I didn't personally experience, but my parents did. When I was 4, we moved into an old house in Pennsylvania that had previously been a funeral home. I'm so happy I was too young to appreciate this. Although the house was mostly quiet, both of my parents experienced separate occurrences on our first day there. My mother at one point heard an older sounding man talking to what seemed like a young girl on the back staircase, but there was no one there. That night, my dad woke up to see a young girl walk past their bedroom door. As I said, I was 4, and my sister was 6. As this was our first night in the new house and our rooms were upstairs, Dad was worried that we would mistakenly turn the wrong way in the dark and fall down one of the two staircases. So he got up and followed the girl, who he thought was one of us. He said she was very young in a white nightgown, and he walked so close behind her, he could have reached out and touched her. He followed her all the way down the hall and into the bathroom, but when he flipped on the light, she was gone. He was so sure that she was real, he went and checked the adjacent rooms, thinking she was somehow gotten away from him. Dad being dad, he always found this to be amusing, but was not in the least disturbed, and we never had any more experiences there. A few years later, I was 8, we moved to Canada, about an hour outside of Vancouver, where Dad worked as a farmhand in exchange for a trailer to live on the property. There have been several different farmhands over the years, and one had been run over in the driveway while working on his truck several years before. He had a wife and, I believed, a daughter at the time. The trailer was small, maybe 35 feet long. Dad slept on a fold-out couch in the living room. My sister was in the first room, and I was in the back bedroom. One summer night, maybe around 10:30, not long after everyone else had fallen asleep, I heard the screen door open. Now, we never locked the door on the porch, but this thing was the loudest door on earth, I think. It screeched when it was opened and slammed shut as soon as it was let go. Dad, who was sort of a waking up if you tiptoed out and just stood quietly near his bed, was, of course, on the couch, and the living room and porch were adjacent. So I waited for him to jump up, but no. Then I heard very distinct footsteps come plodding through the house. The sound made me think very much of work boots, and like the person wasn't trying to be quiet, just walking through like they owned the place. I was entirely freaked out at this point, hardly even breathing, curled up under my covers. I listened as the footsteps walked from the porch to the mudroom, across the edge of the living room carpet, onto the hardwood kitchen floor and across. At the end of the kitchen was our refrigerator, to the right of where the hallway to the rooms began, and to the left was an old wooden stove. Dad had put foil on the side of the fridge to help reflect heat, and I heard it ripple as if someone was walking past. The footsteps stopped right at the entrance to my sister's room. And that was it. I heard the exact sequence repeat two more times across the few years that we lived there, I believe about once a year, always in the summer. After the first time, it didn't bother me, and in fact, I found it almost comforting. I had a sense it was the old farmhand coming in at night and checking in on his family as they slept. Here in North Carolina at my sister's house, about 10 years later, several of us who lived there had either odd experiences or feelings. The back half of the house had burned down at some point in the past, and that half always just felt weird, like people were watching you. My sister used to hear the kitchen cupboards open and close at night, and her boyfriend laughed about it until he stayed over one night and heard it too. I never did. But one day I was sitting in the living room reading a Sylvia Brown book until I got myself thoroughly creeped out. I won't say I necessarily believe she's for real or not. How do you ever really know? But I was still worked up. So I went outside to the back porch, standing just outside the big living room window. The cordless phone was on its charger, sitting in the window still, and as I stood with my back to it, suddenly it turned on. I don't know how to describe it exactly. It was as if it was on speakerphone, a function it didn't have, but it was just a dial tone. After about 15 seconds, it turned itself off. I had had enough weird feelings about the house by then, so that did it for me, though I did go in, pick up the phone, and say hello. I have no idea what I was expecting, although there have been occasions, as throughout my life, when I have heard very soft voices coming from phones, even when they're hung up. But since I got no response, I grabbed my stuff and ran for the door, where I stopped and said, "Look, I'm moving in 2 weeks. Could you please leave me alone until then?" I never had another problem in the house, even when I moved back several years later. However, a month or so after moving, I talked to my sister and we found we had the same odd feelings in the same places in the house, and we had taken to calling our roommate, the ghost, by virtually the same name. I called her Eleanor and she called her Ellen, while also having the sense that there was a man as well. We believed it was her husband that we had never seen, yet had a similar mental image of what he looked like. A later roommate, also without prodding, claimed the same areas of the house bothered them. On a side note about Sylvia Brown, like I said earlier, I have no firm opinion, but it has always struck me as strange that any time I see her on TV or read her books, things act up for me. She always makes my TV go on the fritz. Every time I've seen her, the reception will either go fuzzy or lose the channel entirely, and those kind of things, along with, of course, the phone acting up after the book got to me. Lastly, sorry this is getting long, I have what my family affectionately refers to as my bathroom ghost. Granted, I am notoriously absent-minded, but there are times things can't be all my fault, I don't think. She, I don't know if it's female, but that's what I've always thought, has a fondness for temporarily stealing my things, and she follows me even on vacation. My sister and I stayed with a friend for a few days in Canada, and upon leaving, I couldn't find my brush. All my stuff was kept in one backpack, so it's not like there was a lot of searching to be done. I went all through the house, as this is a brush I've had since I was 5, and it's sentimental by now. Finally, we left, telling them to just hang on to it if they found it. We left, and about an hour down the road, I reached in my backpack for something, and there it was, right in plain sight. This summer, I got sunburned and went hunting for a bottle of aloe gel. I was pretty sure it was under the bathroom sink. I live alone now in a small trailer, and the cabinet under the sink is maybe 1.5 square feet, and not all that crammed, plus this stuff is almost fluorescent green and hard to miss. I drug everything out, but I couldn't find it. A few weeks later, while getting out some liquid soap to refill the dispenser, there it was. I don't recall any times other stuff in other parts of the house has gone missing, but maybe a few times a year, random items, cough syrup, tweezers, etc., will disappear for a short period. Although somewhat annoying, it makes me laugh. I wondered if maybe she's what people call my guide and just likes to say hi from time to time. I think that's finally about it. Any thoughts on the cross-country bathroom thieves or anything else?
I don't want to say that she's haunted, but I'm thinking that...
She's haunted.
No, I'm thinking that she's sensitive and things find her. Mm-hmm. But it seems to be all different types of things depending on where she is. Because I don't say she's haunted because it seems like every location has a different spirit or a different type of spirit. Like I think the trailer on the farm in Canada was a residual because she said it was every summer the same time the guy would come in, walk through the trailer, and that was it. So it just, you know, I think it's just she's a magnet for whatever happens to be around.
And that they know that she can sense them.
Yeah.
Or be attuned to what's going on. I think a lot of people, if they're not open to this subject and you have, for example, self-grooming things that are moved around or whatever it may be, aloe, I think a lot of folks will just be like, I misplaced it, whatever, done. And that's the end of the thought. But... after a while, a lot of these things keep happening, and she's going, wait a second, doesn't make any sense. But I don't think, it's almost like it's the whole thing that we say sometimes when there's obvious things going on in Yopal. That's two thoughts where people just kind of completely miss it.
Yeah.
But it's like, wait a second, there's no logical explanation as to why the hell this would not be there, and then suddenly it's there. This is not just you misplaced it or you didn't see it. There's other shit going on. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how, I would guess 8 out of 10 times or 9 out of 10 times, that's lost on the general public.
Yeah.
That it's just completely not seen.
But that's something you and I always have go through our minds whenever we can't find something.
It is, but more times than not, I can't ever say I've ever felt that it was paranormal. Yeah. I can almost always end up tracing it back to me or one of the short people who live in our house.
Yeah, that's true.
So
they move stuff all the time.
So it, you know, I've never had it where it's like there's no lie. I've never had the thing where she had it where went through the whole cupboard and it wasn't there. And then the next day you go back and it's there.
Right.
That has never happened. Have you ever had anything like that?
No, but I was kind of, you know, when none of us are going to fess up as to why the pepperoni is missing, you know, we go to make dinner last night and the pepperoni for the pizzas are gone.
Yep.
So, you know, we've got two kids and they're like, we didn't eat it. And neither one of us snack on pepperoni. Uh-huh. So it's like, great. We got a pepperoni ghost.
We do have dogs that know how to open the trash can.
Yeah, but they can't open the fridge yet.
Well, I wouldn't put it past them if one of them like gets the fridge open and then the other one stands on the other's back and opens up the crisper drawer that the pepperoni is stored in. Mm-hmm. And then they get it out. Yeah. And it's like a circus act.
They are like circus dogs.
I had one the other day. I went out because at night they sleep in their kennels. And I get up in the morning and open... because I go out to get them first thing in the morning, and one of them's out. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And the cat's out there too, but the cat doesn't have a kennel. The cat just free roams. And I'm like, did the cat? Are they teaming up? Are they?
I think so, because the cat has a fondness for Sting.
Yeah.
But doesn't care that much for Bear, so they probably teamed up and decided, let's let Bear out and let him get in trouble because he'll shit all over everything.
I think it was
something like that.
There was some maniacal shit going on there with the pets. So anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next letter says, hey guys, really love the show. I think we would do a killer podcast together telling ghost stories and naming Michael McDonald songs in the background. I called and left half of the following story, but the call cut out. So I'd wanted to write this in. I recently had gone back to school and my wife had our first little girl. So I found a job cleaning the ER midnights at St. Thomas Hospital in Akron, Ohio. It's a famous hospital both for being the birthplace of Alcoholics Anonymous and for being haunted. I would occasionally have to clean the surgical suites in the basement next to the radiology down the hall from the morgue. Only I and the hospital police had a key for the surgical wing. I could see all the bays down the middle of the suite from the front door. It always creeped me out to clean them. Not because of the blood, but because of the strange noises, cold spots, or the occasional something out of the corner of my eye. When I had to clean a bag, I would turn all the lights on and radios on in each bay. I'd clean them and then turn off the lights and radios one by one. The day shift nurses hated lights and the radio was left on. I would turn around, make sure all the lights were off, and I heard nothing. I'd lock up and head back upstairs to the ER. One day, I got a note from my supervisor that I left a radio on, and if I did it again, I would be written up. The next time I had to clean the bay, I made extra sure that everything was turned off and dark before heading upstairs. Sure enough, I got a note saying I did it again, and after repeated happenings, got written up for it. I told my supervisor what happened, and he even said something to the effect of, it wasn't the first time it happened to somebody, but rules are rules. It wasn't a big deal, and I knew my lifelong career was not a janitor. Another bizarre thing that happened was often the radiologist on midnight shift would hang out in the ER upstairs because of how creepy it was downstairs, and no one else was there. The elevator had recently begun opening and constantly closing once it was on the basement floor, but no one came downstairs with me. Once I locked up, I turned around and noticed a woman walking away from me towards radiology. I tried calling out for the radiology tech so she knew I was downstairs with her, but the woman ignored me and continued to walk around the corner into radiology. I followed her knowing that either she was going to walk into radiology or be cornered because the other direction that ended in the next day recovery suite that only the police had a key for. I watched the woman walk around the corner to the next day recovery, and when I turned the corner, no one was there. I thought she was dressed more for the period of the 20s when the hospital was also a concern, but because it was dark and she was a few steps ahead of me, I couldn't be sure. When I went back upstairs and told everybody what had happened, the radiology tech said that she had seen people down there also, either working in the morgue or next day recovery, but could never find them. I left shortly after that, but I'll never forget all the creepy experiences at that hospital. I've got a ton more ghost stories for you. I come from a long line of ancestors sensitive to the paranormal, and have even stared down the devil himself. I love your show. Thank you so much for all you do.
That would be so frustrating to keep getting in trouble for leaving the lights on when it's not you. It's something doing that after you've cleaned and locked up.
Yeah. There's no way to fix that.
No.
That's very much a justice thing that would, I think, drive us nuts.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like, no, I didn't do that. That was the worst when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Because there were so many times I'd get blamed for something and I didn't do it. And I didn't, and there was no other brother or sister. Yeah. It was a cat. and if it wasn't me, well, it couldn't have been anybody else, apparently. But there were so many. I remember, I don't know why this stands out to me, but I remember one time it was something involving a watermelon. And I don't know if it was like water. Yeah, I know. And it was, it still irks me because I still, if I bring this to my mom today, she'll have no clue what the hell I'm talking about. But it was something of like watermelon seeds in a bowl. It was something involving watermelon seeds. And I don't remember exactly what it was, but I know I didn't do it. Mm-hmm. And I was being accused of it. And I swear to God, this argument went on for a good hour and a half. Of like, no, I'm like arguing my case. I was very commonly told you should be a lawyer when you grow up, because I wouldn't give up. I mean, I would not stop arguing until I was understood or heard, or especially if I knew I didn't do it. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't argue if I knew I was wrong. But I remember this just like going on and on. And to this day, I don't know what the hell it was. If it was like my dad spit the seeds in this bowl and didn't rinse it, or what the hell it was. Or the cat suddenly had an affinity for watermelon. I don't know. But I remember just being very irked, and still, you know, 30 years later, slightly irked by it. I don't like being accused of shit I didn't do.
Yeah. I know.
So I would go nuts if I was the guy in the hospital.
Yeah.
You want to talk about watermelon a little bit more?
No, I'm good. I don't even like watermelon.
I like what do you think? What about seedless watermelon? What's your thoughts on the seedless?
It doesn't matter. It's the texture of the melon that I can't handle.
I don't think they're as flavorful.
I don't care. I like watermelon flavored candy or mm-hmm. whatever, but I don't like the texture of watermelon, so I won't eat it, seedless or not.
Okay, what about cantaloupes and muskmelon?
No, no melons. I can't.
Different, but it's different, very different texture. What, like watermelon's like a spongy type, or just, you know, it disintegrates.
No.
Muskmelon and cantaloupe, you gotta chew a little more chunky.
No. No, I'm not a melon eater. I don't like melons.
Not in the melon family.
Mm-mm.
You're anti-melon.
Yeah, I am.
Okay. What about John Mellencamp? Are you a
He's
fan
okay.
of...
He's okay.
Yeah?
He's okay.
Which song?
I don't know.
Name one. Three, two, one.
No, name you name one.
Little Pink Houses.
Okay.
Jack and Diane.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
They're fine.
Okay.
I always get him and Springsteen confused, and I know that's going to upset a lot of our listeners.
A lot of people are like, what the fuck?
I know.
Seriously?
That's just me.
Jenny at realghoststoriesonline.com for your...
No, I don't want any hate mail.
Let's go to a caller. Hi.
What's up, guys? So I'm driving right now. Hopefully you can hear my voice. But yeah, I've always been somewhat sensitive to the paranormal. I feel like, you know, I have in the family, we have a medium, and, you know, she's extremely sensitive. She was a young girl, and I've had similar experiences with her in the same area. So, you know, I feel like I've kind of confirmed it in my own mind. But ever since I was a kid, things have kind of happened, and, nothing extremely spooky, although there have been times that I've gone searching for it. With friends, we got really into it at a younger age, you know, as all kids do some weird, crazy stuff. But anyway, I wanted to talk about some of the experiences I had as a kid in the home I grew up in, here in South Jersey. And, my parents still live there to this day. And I don't remember what age, maybe 12 years old was the first experience I had. It was late middle of the night, thunderstorm rolling through. Of course, I woke up when the power went out. And the reason is because I, you know, actually still at this age of 33, I have to sleep with a fan on just because that white noise, and I get used to it. But, you know, when I was 12, fan was on. When I went to bed, power goes out, fan cuts off, naturally wake right up. And now it's getting real hot, middle of the summer. The air conditioning's clearly not working because the power's out. So I open the windows, and I'm trying to cool off. I have the covers off me at this point. Sweating still. And then the cat, next-door neighbor's cat, starts making these god-awful noises. You've heard cats quote-unquote sing, if you want to call it singing. But it was terrifying to me at 12 years old, so... I did what any 12-year-old kid would do when they're scared, and threw my head right under the covers for as long as I possibly could, until I started sweating and feeling really uncomfortable because, again, it was middle of the summer with no air conditioning. So I take the covers off, and I was facing – my bed was up against the wall, and, you know, the other side away from the wall would be facing the middle of the room, and that's the way I was facing when I took the covers off. And when I did – there was a face right in front of mine, and I mean within a foot, and it was a smiling face. When I looked back on it the next day and I explained it, it's more of like a maybe Chinese, Japanese, Asian type looking face, again, smiling at me. Didn't move, just staring, and I mean, I couldn't have stared at it for longer than a few seconds before I freaked out, put the covers right back over my head, and just froze underneath the covers. And I didn't care how much I sweat at that point. I felt like I was under there for ages. When I finally gained enough courage to take the covers off again, from over my face, there was nothing there. That was one experience. Another experience was I got home, and this was maybe a couple years later, got home from school. At this point, both my parents were working, so I was alone. And I was upstairs on the computer, and I heard a crash, like glass breaking. Nobody was home. Again, I was alone. So I went in my room, which is across from the computer room, grabbed a baseball bat. Didn't know what I was going to come across. Went downstairs, looked all around, basement. Looked all around, getting ready to swing this bat at something. Couldn't find anything. still alone in the house. Went back upstairs, baseball bat in the room, had to use the bathroom. Went in the bathroom, and there I see the candle holder that is sitting on the top portion of the toilet was now on the floor, completely smashed. And in its place was the tissue box that was sitting next to it originally, moved over and crushed as if a hand had grabbed it and crushed it and slid it across and knocked the candle holder off the toilet. So that was great to explain to my parents. Of course, you know, hey, a ghost broke your candle holder, not me. So I, you know, up to this point, they still didn't believe me. And the last experience I had was it was my room, in the middle of my room, and my sister's room was the bathroom. So my room, the bathroom, my sister's room. And I was taking a shower, and the shower is up against the wall that is adjacent to my sister's room. And I'm in there, and every now and then, you know, we were younger, we would knock on the wall. She was in her room, she would knock on the wall, we'd knock back and forth. It was a fun game. Like, well, I'm taking a shower, and there's a knock on the wall. Like, all right, it's my sister playing the game, so I knock back, it knocks back again, I knock again, and then it wasn't a knock. The third time was not a knock, it was a bang that scared the crap out of me. So I get out of the shower, and I'm about to go around the corner into my sister's room and, you know, yell at her for scaring the crap. Like, what, you know, come on. Used to playing knock-knock back and forth, but, you know, what the hell was that? And the room's dark and no one's in there. So I run in, get dressed real quick, and run downstairs. And, you know, where's... ask my parents where my sister is. And, well, she's not home. She's out with her friends. Scared the crap out. The last thing I'll mention is I got a camera for Christmas right around all the time all this was happening, and I was playing with it, taking pictures, and I had taken a picture of that same bathroom, just randomly, again, just taking pictures. And when I looked at it later on the computer, there was a face, the same face that was smiling at me that one night, in the wall, in the back wall of the bathroom. I showed it to other people, they saw it, confirmed it. I even played around with it, special effects, to try and make the face pop more, and it sure did, and it was the same Asian descent looking face in that picture, and I showed my parents, and again, they were skeptical, but, you know, the interesting thing that they said was, hey, you know, before we moved into this house back in the early 80s, there were three different Asian families living in the house. It was a three-story home, basement, main level, and top level, and there were three different families living, one on each floor. They were all of Asian descent. I don't know if they were Chinese or Japanese, but not sure. But I remember getting pieces of mail early on in life with their names on it. But I thought she just got the wrong address. But yeah, that's what I found out. So I don't know if it's related or someone died in the house, not sure, still to this day I've been able to tell, but I know my parents now say there are some weird things that happen, you know, bumps, creaks, noises, stuff like that, but nothing crazy or drastic. So anyway, I have other stories unrelated to this, maybe a separate call for you guys later on, but
there you go.
I think it has to be related. I think that's too much of a coincidence for it to not be related.
Have you ever had any unexplained knocking or anything that you've experienced or heard? Or
yeah, when I was a kid one night, I would hear scratching. It was like in my wall, so I just assumed like a field mouse or something had gotten in the wall because we lived out in the country.
Mm-hmm.
But then one night I heard the distinct sound of the keys on my keyboard, my computer keyboard, being pressed.
Mm-hmm.
Like something was typing at my keyboard. Or could have been a large mouse walking on my keyboard. Either way, I did not turn the light on, and I just went, you know, and left that alone.
Okay, logically looking back at it, do you think you had a rodent problem, or do you think it was a ghost problem? What does your mind tell you?
Well, I didn't have a lot of other ghostly experiences in that house.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of negative energy in that house.
Sure.
And there was a ton of antique stuff in that house. So it could have been a ghost or it could have been a mouse. But I don't know how it would have gotten into my room and on my keyboard because I never saw any sign of having it inside the house.
Mm-hmm. There was a distinct sound, the keyboard tapping. Mm-hmm. Today, it's pretty quiet on most. We were talking about that the other day.
Right. This is a 1995-ish keyboard.
Yeah. You heard it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a step, you know, below the sound of a typewriter.
Yeah.
You know, it's very distinct. And it's eerie when there's nobody there to be hearing those keys going up and down. I've never experienced that. I've heard stories like that about the first radio station I worked in. There was a lot of stories of people in there in morning shifts where they would be walking through the sales area. No one else is there yet, but they would hear that. They would hear the keyboards being typed upon and for multiple people.
Yeah.
So that's just it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. I had knocking once. I think I've told this story where it's like it was the three knocks. And then I look back on it. There's no tree. There was no way. I don't know what the hell it was. Mice don't make that sound.
No.
So that was it. One time. That was the only thing. I don't know. And then I had the dead cat that kept showing up and going on my bed after that. It was, you know, chronologically, I can't honestly tell you if it was before the cat died or after the cat died, but I guess if I were to look back at that house, the only times I had paranormal things happen would have been in that room.
Yeah.
And it was always at night and sleeping. And
wasn't there a house, though, there before that house?
Yeah. Burned down.
Maybe it has something to do with that.
Car crashed into it.
Maybe it has something to do with that.
I have no idea if the person died. It's something to look into. Go find some microfilm at the library next time we're there. And I don't know. As to why I never looked into that, I don't know. Because I probably never had much else happen. So I never really had. I don't look back on that house as going, oh, that was a haunted house.
No, I don't think it's haunted.
No. But it makes you wonder. I think anything potentially can have a haunting, but I think it can come and go. I classify a haunted house as something where it's like it's ongoing. And it never, it's taken resident there. I never really felt like that there. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, sign up, become an extra podcast person. EPP, ghostpodcast.com is where you do that, or patreon.com/realghoststories. Greatly appreciate your support on that. It's only $5 a month, and in exchange, bonus episodes every single week and access to our huge archive of bonus episodes and advanced episodes. Ghostpodcast.com, patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.